Well, that statement arises, sadly, out of ignorance, and I'd answer it at two levels. First of all, let's go back into history a little. I will quote to you the names of a group of people, all of whom are founding members in the sciences, beginning with, say, Nicholas Copernicus, Tycho Brahe, Johann Kepler, Galileo Galilei, Newton, Michael Faraday, James Clerk Maxwell, the founder of my own science, Sir William Thomson, Lord Kelvin. Now, with the exception of Newton, that straight lineage of development of scientific thinking consists of people, every one of whom had a direct personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So that in being a scientist and a Christian, I'm not alone. That's the first piece of good news.
One could argue, though, that that's in a historical perspective, and those people lived in a community where it was expected that you were a Christian, and you didn't challenge that.
Yes, that you could say that if you didn't explore their innermost thoughts. James Clerk Maxwell had a series of letters to his wife, which are now openly available. And these were love letters, I might add. And in his letters to his wife, he would say things like, "Consider, my dear, that Christ has wrought such a great work in us that we have become new creations and old things have passed away." Now, that's the statement of a real man speaking from a real heart. Galileo made a habit of praying for his co-workers when they were sick. The same goes for Copernicus, Johann Kepler. But I'd also answer this at another level, the apparent incompatibility between science, as we would call it, and the Bible. I had a problem at this point because I used to say, well, of course, it's nice to read the Bible, but the Genesis is a bit of twaddle. And I'd recommend people to read the Bible and say, well, forget about the first bit. You can't trust that. And I used to think to myself, well, what would I do if a student was coming to my office and they would say, oh, I need to know about the relaminarization of a turbulent boundary layer or something, you see. And I would say, I have a good book on that subject. Hand it to them and say, now here is a definitive book on the subject. However, forget the first six chapters because you can't trust them. The student isn't going to believe the rest. And this was a thought which worried me over a period of time. And one day I was reading in the New Testament a debate taking place between Jesus and a number of Jewish folk. And he said these words, "However, in the beginning it was not so, for God created them male and female." And it dawned on me that Jesus was making that statement 2,000 years closer to the event than I was, if nothing else. And he believed it. And that brought to me the greatest crisis in my Christian thinking. Either what I perceived as being scientific was right, or Jesus Christ was right. It both couldn't be. And I dwelt on that for a couple of days, and I made a decision. I said, I don't understand this, but by faith, I will actually believe what Jesus says. The astonishing thing that happened was this. Over the next 48 hours, I find myself reading a number of papers and documents, and everything began to fall into place. And today, I would say, I find no incompatibility whatsoever between anything that I have discovered in the world of science and anything that the Bible says.
Isn't that being intellectually dishonest? Because Jesus has said Genesis is true, you accept it by faith, without reason, without scientific proof.
Faith doesn't imply intellectual dishonesty. In fact, I would say to you that, I say this as a scientist, science is an act of faith, ultimately. Science, as we use the word, meaning basically technology. The word science actually means knowledge. It doesn't just mean technology. But if we were to take this narrow meaning of technology for science, science is eventually codified by a set of laws. We have, in my field, I have the first and second laws of thermodynamics. You have Newtonian laws of motion and all these things. They're sets of laws. It is essential to state, however, that the scientific laws are essentially descriptive. They're not prescriptive. By that I mean, the scientific laws do nothing other than describe what has been observed. There is absolutely nothing in science to say that what has been observed is what is going to happen. Now, how then can science have any use in the future? By an act of faith.
You're a scientist. You've told me that you accept creation, that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. But what about the Second Coming? Isn't that really too much to take?
Shortly after I became a Christian, nobody taught me that I should believe this. Nobody espoused a theology upon me or anything of this sort. But shortly after my conversion, I heard somebody speak of Jesus coming back. And I can tell you that within my deepest being, there was a leap of joy. I thought, what on earth was that? And from that moment, down through the years, every time I've heard that the promise is that the Lord Jesus will return, something inside of me becomes extremely excited. And I dare to say, according to the scripture, that is a spirit within, responding to this basic truth that the Lord Jesus is going to come back to take up his own. Now, I happen to believe that. The fact that it hasn't happened thus far does not say anything that it will not happen. And you know, that's one, the Christian can have two great hopes, I believe, in this world. The first great hope that he can have is the assurance of an eternity in the presence of God. That's what I call heaven. And if one doesn't have that assurance, then I just call that hell. The second great hope I think that the Christian can have is this, that the Lord Jesus, whom he is privileged to serve, is going to come back to take him up. And that thrills me.